Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you for this outreach, this fellowship of outreach believers, Lord, from all over the country. And Father, we just praise you that tonight's going to be a mighty night with you, Lord, and you're going to anoint each one of us to share what you've given us, Lord, and that it's going to be a night that you're going to be in control, Holy Spirit, and we just praise you for that. And we thank you for all that's accomplished tonight. In your name, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. All right. Well, like I was telling you, we had a touchdown of a tornado, which would be about 6 miles from us, David and I, up on top of the hill here. As a crow flies, it's probably not more than 4 or 5 miles over there. And went down for I don't know how long, and toward Tim's and Michael Levesque. And so I don't know what all the damage is. I know there was a lot of power off over in that area, a lot of trees down, and I don't know how much damage is done. But anyway, everybody's okay. We called around after the storm and found out everybody's okay. So, and we knew that. We just wanted to see if there's any damage done that we could help out with. So that's where we are. Has anybody got any, let's go ahead. Let me pray for the people out there that are struggling right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you that if there's anybody trapped, anybody that's hurting, anybody that's been damaged, been hurt by this tornado that came through in these high winds, Lord, I ask and I pray, Lord, that you would ease their pain, Lord, and you would just absolutely make sure somebody gets to them real quick, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, you know, it'd be even be better if they're not saved that you would show up and you'd show them what's going on, Lord, and draw them to you and grant them repentance, Father, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that electricity will be restored shortly in the name of Jesus, Father. And we thank you for that. All right. Anybody else got any prayer requests?
I have a couple prayer requests.
Okay. Well,
I told you that I was helping a man out with cancer, cleaning him up, getting ready for bed and all.
Yes.
He's gone to the hospital, but the main thing, my main interest was that he wouldn't be so hard-hearted. I don't know that he accepted God, but he got a little softer in his demeanor. He's now saying thank you and stuff like that, which he never used to say. So, but he's got cancer and it's progressive, and they say he's not going to live. But I know that ain't nothing but worldly talk when the doctors say that. Another lady, right across from us, the apartment in the building next to us, is dying from pancreatic cancer, and it's in the last stage, and she's not able to walk or anything, and her son lives with her, has been trying to take care of her, but he can't lift her. She's too heavy. So we went over there, but she was a little embarrassed to have us. So we tried to bless them in any way we could, and we're praying for salvation for Alton, the man, and I believe that Miss Sandra believes in God, but I'm sure she needs to grow a lot. It's hard to tell because she's deaf, and she communicates with sign language. She tries to talk, and you can almost understand her, but I'm just concerned about her because they gave her 2 months to get to live, and that was about a month ago, and she's proceeding it in that direction. But I don't believe that that's God's will for her, you know. So I want to pray for Sandra, who has pancreatic cancer, and Alton, who has colon cancer, and his liver is eaten up. So in Jesus' name, I pray for both of these and that they would be healed. And I pray to Jesus, I pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and I know that it's his authority in us that we, when we pray, that brings these prayers home. Lord, touch these two people, Lord, and heal them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we just ask and we pray, Lord, that you draw them to you and grant repentance to them if they're not saved, Lord. And then show them in the word, Lord, show them that by their faith they're healed. By the stripes of Jesus, they were already healed 2,000 years ago. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name, Lord. But most of all, we want to see them into the kingdom, Father, in Amen. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that they're coming into the kingdom. God, we believe, we're standing in faith for them, and we thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. All right, wait, anything else, brother?
Did you mute me?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Appreciate it.
Okay, anybody else got a prayer request? I would like to pray. You know, with the perilous times that we're in, we all ought to be praying. We're in some amazing times now. It's just amazing to me how this thing is snowballing. It looks like a snowball that's going downhill, gaining momentum each way and gaining strength the whole way. And it's just amazing to me. Has anybody got any prayer they'd like to offer up or would like prayer for?
Hi, Michael. Malcolm here.
Hey, Malcolm. That's you. Okay. I got you.
Can you tie my number there to my name? Or do you want me to?
No, I can. Yeah, let me write it down. Let me write it down. Okay. I can't do it tonight, but I'll do it next time.
Yeah, whenever. It's fine. Okay. There's my social circles here are almost exclusively within my former denomination, all my relatives and friends. And so every week we go through this whole thing of I don't go to what they call church, but then I'll, you know, eat with them later, with the family sometimes. And so anyway, there's some folks, this rural area kind of attracts people from different states who, for whatever reason, they're starting to see, some of them are kind of on a secular level. They see the geoengineering projects and all those kinds of operations happening, and they start getting a whiff of that, and they, you know, get this idea that, you know, I better get away from the coast, I better get away from get out of the cities. And so, you know, we get a lot of people up here like that from all kinds of different walks of life, religiously oriented or, you know, following the Lord or not. So anyway, there's folks that occasionally show up at the local church here that are just kind of attracted by the common discussions and viewpoints on current events and where things are at. And but from my perspective, I'm just concerned about people getting sucked into a situation that they'll have to later repent of, like I did. But anyway, that's in the Lord's hands. But this one gentleman I got a chance to talk to, and I've really been burdened for him, and gave him a copy of Sovereign God, which kind of, you know, people that are really into a lot of the worldwide happenings and the one world order that's coming, Sovereign God really cuts into a lot of assumptions that people develop or viewpoints they develop about, you know, we need to stop this. We need to stop this geoengineering. We need to stop this, at a physical level, which of course is not possible. But people try, you know, they get an idea that, well, if we can just let more people know, you know, and if we can get the public outcry enough, then we can, you know, slow this thing down. So anyway, but Sovereign God, you know, the concept, the understanding that God is sovereign, he's behind all these things, it really cuts counter to, you know, where a lot of these folks are coming from, you know, if you know what I'm saying here. So anyway, I'm just praying that that book will, you know, the Lord will just open this gentleman's heart and to... I can kind of see the writing on the wall where some of this stuff could be headed, because, but maybe I shouldn't say too much, but it's, you have a, when you have a denominational setting and people are absolutely desperate to get new people in, so if they see anybody nearby, they'll latch onto them and do whatever sales pitch they can to try to convince them to stick around. And so I can kind of see that if people catch wind of the fact that I'm interfering with that process, if you do you know what I'm saying, Michael, here? If I'm interfering with this process, you know, we could see some real stuff flying here. So I just pray that I'd be a sheep in wolf's clothes. Yeah, sheep. A wolf in sheep. No, okay. Just not that crowd. No. But you know, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, and that the Lord will just guide in everything and orchestrate everything, because it's the situation is a little too complex for me to know how to handle.
Yes, that's why it's imperative we're led by the Holy Spirit in those types of situations, Malcolm. And when you do that, you can't go wrong. God's already opened up their eyes and their ears of understanding to know. You know, one of the things that we do around here is before they go out, a lot of people will pray and ask God to, Tim does it quite often as well, that they would run across people who are searching, who are looking for the truth. And invariably, you know, God will do that. And, you know, you it's going to be hard until there's a shaking. It's going to be real hard to change people's religion and their theology by trying to debate with them, because that just doesn't work. It takes it takes God.
Well,
this person
doesn't have that. I can pick up a bunch of religious demons that needed to be dealt with. Pretty ignorant of all, you know, the denominational stuff. So he's just kind of testing the waters.
Well, those type of people, they're very interested in God and the truth. They're easy. They're easy.
Talk pray, about. You know, and you know, we all want spiritual children. We want to bring in people to the Lord. By the way, I've been listening to Torben, this guy over in Denmark, has been putting out some pretty interesting episodes, he calls them. The last, he's in episode 4 now. Once a week they put out a video. But fascinating discussions about people being kicked out of their churches because they were told by their pastor or the authorities in the church to stop going out and talking to people about the Lord and healing people and baptizing people, because they said that you have no authority to baptize. You have no authority to be healing people like that without being under the umbrella of the church. And so all these, it's a fascinating discussion, if anybody's interested. But it's pretty heartwarming. I don't know about heartwarming, but this is, you know, from hearing that, it's just like this kind of thing is happening around the world. People are stepping out, following the Lord, leaving everything behind, and coming under, some of them, a lot of persecution. Places like Germany and other countries. It's this one pastor, you know, it's pretty incredible for me to think of somebody actually saying this, but this one pastor told this guy who was in Germany, as they kicked him out, this pastor said, I am binding you for 15 years to not be able to do anything special for the cause of Christ, which is, I mean, of all the gall, that just blows my mind how people can get to that point.
Boy, he's got a religious spirit big as Texas, don't he? Well, that's the heart of a lot of the denominational churches, you know. They want you under their authority, under their thumb, more, not their authority, but under their thumb, where they can tell you what to do and what not to do. And Anyway, yeah, I believe that. I've never heard of this guy, though. What's the name of the site?
Corbin, I found out about him through Andrew Strom, but it's his website is www.thelastreformation.com.
The last what?
Reformation.
Reformation, okay.
Right, and those videos are right there. The most recent. He put out 20 lessons last year, and then they moved to a different part of Denmark. He and his wife and some of the folks working with him, and then they've just recently started doing videos again. And these last four are very compelling. They've got people, this guy from New Zealand and, I guess, Australia and some other countries that they are interviewing. And it's amazing. People are being impressed to give their brand-new, very expensive car to somebody else. And, you know, just give everything. And this one guy's wife finally agreed to doing this. So you can imagine what that it would be when you're making a ton of money. To just give your house or give your car.
Yeah.
So it's pretty encouraging to hear these, but it really does make us think about, you know, where are we with the Lord on you know, leaving everything for Him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody else? Well, all right. What about testimonies in praise reports? Anybody got one of those or more of those? Y'all don't be shy. Nobody's got anything they'd like to glorify the Lord over. Well, let's see. I do. I've got something I want to glorify the Lord on. We, as I was talking about earlier, some of you heard me say that we had a storm blow through here earlier. Now, David and I, as soon as it started cranking up, we went in on the offensive and commanded the lightning not to strike this mountain. We commanded the wind not to come to this mountain, and we commanded the storm to die down and just rain. And of course, that's exactly what happened here. And some of the other ones had some damage around their houses, but not on their houses. Nobody got hurt. Tim's out there now. He's on the conference call, but he's busy with the UBM tractor out there helping folks clear the highways so that people can get through to their loved ones and homes and things. They had a tornado apparently that went through over close to where Tim was and knocked down trees and power lines and whatever else was in the way, I suspect. And they're out there helping remove the trees out of the road so the firemen and the emergency vehicles can get through to find out if everybody's okay. So that's the work what Tim and I suspect a lot of others are doing as well. Greg probably out there, and Brandy and some more. I know David's out there now. I don't know where he is, but he said he was going to go out and look around, see if he could do something. So he's out there helping as well. So that's kind of what's going on here. And we have electricity. I don't think Tim does or Michael Levesque has electricity either, but we pray they'll have it soon. Both of them have generators, so they'll have something there. So that's what's going on here. And I just believe nobody got hurt. We believe that everybody's going to be reunited with their family members and everything's going to be fine. It's going to be something to talk about. So that's kind of a testimony and a kind of a report of what's going on here. I'll tell you something, that the Lord has really been showing us a lot of stuff here in the last week or two. David alluded to, well, he didn't allude, he told a bunch of it Sunday, told a lot of it that the Lord had been showing us, and this thing looks like it's right here on us, and it's time to quit fooling around with the Lord and quit playing church and get serious with Christ, get serious with Jesus and lay everything down that's hindering your walk. You know, we've all here, even here, have come to the realization that, God's doing something. He's doing something in the whole world. And it looks like this thing is really headed to a this tribulation start. I don't, you know, we don't know when that's going to happen, but we know it looks like it really is. We're right on the verge of this great wilderness that the Lord talks about in the Word. And so with that, I want to ask y'all, if the Lord has been showing you anything as far as the end time scenario and what's going on and anything like that. So with that, anybody hearing from the Lord in this respect?
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, is this Claudia?
Yes.
Hey, Claudia.
Yeah, I had something, I don't know, maybe it was 6 weeks ago, and it wasn't a dream, it wasn't a vision, but I just kept hearing over and over in my head, the famine has already started. I just kept hearing that for days.
Okay, the famine has already started, right?
Yes. And I don't really read the paper very much. We don't get a paper. So I don't know what's out there. This was just totally of God.
Yeah. Well, I will let you know this, is that they're having a drought out west, major droughts. And then, of course, in the Delta, they've been having rains, where they grow a lot of cotton and corn and soybeans and things like that. And I know that everything is late. I don't know if they even got it all in or not because of the rain. Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee and areas in West Tennessee. So it looks like you may be right, at least in this area anyway. If you'll look and see, beef has gone up everything has gone up in the grocery stores astronomically, it looks like. And so you're probably right. You're probably right. And that was probably from the Lord, too.
Believe it, because it was about a week or two after that, and Stan was saying, he reads the news, and we don't get a newspaper, but he reads different things, and he said, oh, did you hear about all those chickens dying? I said, no, and he said,
oh, yeah.
And I didn't even know that, but that was like a week or two after the Lord was saying the famine has already started.
Yeah, there was millions and millions and millions of chickens died from this bird flu.
Yeah, is that still going on? I don't know anything about it. Is it still happening?
Yeah, it's still happening. Have you checked the egg prices lately? And chicken prices? Whew, my.
Our own chickens, so we have our own eggs.
Well, that's a great thing.
I don't know
thing.
Really what's going on out in the stores on that.
Yeah. Well, they're high. They're high. I don't know how much they are. We get our eggs from Tim's wife, actually. She's got a bunch of chickens over there, and she gives us our eggs. But I can tell you the chicken is way up there. It's like, I don't know how much it is now, but boy, it's high too. Okay, anybody else? The famine has started. Already,
you know,
started.
Michael, it says in the Word, the day shall come, saith the Lord, I will send a famine in the land, not of bread nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And in that day they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and shall wander to and fro, seeking to hear the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. And in that day shall the fair virgin and the young men faint for thirst. And so I think it goes together, both the natural and the spiritual. There's also a famine that's developed for the true word of God. I'm finding so rare people that are speaking on a level of some sort of consistency with the word and with the burden of the Lord's Spirit, that people are just out of touch. And I don't, you wonder where on earth they're coming from. It's like you know, completely clueless to what's really going on. But I think that that's another kind of a famine that's going on at the same time right now.
Oh, absolutely, Michael. It's amazing to me the dumbing down of the Christian family, so to speak. There's just not any truth out there. It's just all tickling their ear kind of stuff. But God's going to change that. God's going to change that, and people are going to, just like Stan, or was it Stan? No, it was Malcolm talking about this guy, Corbin. There's people coming out of those type of churches and going out there and preaching the gospel and preaching the truth. I believe that there's places all over this world that people are doing that. They're getting the truth and they're giving it out to the people. And it makes the worldly church mad when they do that. It just, I mean, when the signs and wonders follow those that have the truth, it makes the worldly apostate churches mad. And we're seeing it makes them madder each day, too. This Antichrist spirit is really prevalent in the churches and in the leadership of the churches. And it's just amazing the things that God's doing now. All right. Anyone else?
Now, like Paul says, they will suffer persecution. It's not like you might. You will.
That's right. Ain't no doubt about it, is it, Malcolm? Yeah. If you want to know the truth and you find out some truth, you're going to go through some tribulation, some trials and tribulation.
We've all. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
No, you go ahead, Michael.
We've just all been through, you know, this. But this, some of this persecution is more than just physical persecution or getting kicked out or being. Part of it is just kind of a subtle, quiet, something that's not even communicated verbally. It might just be a look or just the fact that you're so marginalized that what you have to say doesn't, you know. Your mouth is just shut. All kinds of things. Some of it can be at a very deep level, like family. You know, when children are basically don't listen to you, you know, that can hurt pretty deeply. And I know you've been through that, and Michael Montana and other, you know, a lot of people have been through that, but this persecution stuff can really hurt sometimes, and it not just physically. It's the physical probably isn't even very material compared to the other pain. My thing is that we know Jesus went through a lot more than what we ever imagined. Separation of his father from him, you know, that as he expressed in the on the cross, and that was pretty brutal because. God was, the Father was Jesus' only lifeline there. I mean, that was all he had left. And that got cut off, too.
Amen. Amen. But you know, God is acclimating all of us to die to the flesh. And we start looking at people in the spirit rather than in the flesh. And when you do that, it brings everything into perspective a little bit better. We know that we've prayed these prayers of faith and we believe in it. You know, God's going to bring them in, even though they're out there acting silly right now, you know, and they are, rebuking, you know, you or me or any of us here, you know, being in apostate Christianity when in fact, it's just the opposite, you know, they're calling up, down and down, up and all that kind of stuff. But, We know that God is sovereign and that he's working all these things out. And all we have to do is endure in our faith and believe. And then God's going to do it. He's going to do it. It's getting, hey, listen, just a little note here. I noticed today I was on True News, I think, where it was. The Executive Council of the Boy Scouts of America has come out and said that each troop can go ahead and approve or disapprove gay troop leaders in their troops, and the Boy Scout. You talk about, and I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, now, what is wrong with this? It's putting foxes in the hen house with our children. That is so out of touch with reality that shows you the point where people's minds have been corrupted so much that they don't even understand what's right and what's wrong anymore. And so, you know, that's where this society has gone. Here in America, it has just gone completely nutso. And I hate to see that in the Boy Scout. What's that guy's name that brought on the Boy Scout? I bet he'd turn over in his grave if he knew that. Sir, that English guy. But anyway, that's just one facet of what's going on. Another is I saw where NAACP wants to sandblast Robert E. Lee's statue off of the mountain, Stone Mountain over there. That's just crazy stuff going on all over, going on all over. All right, anybody else got anything they'd like to bring up to the table? This is the time.
Hi, this is Gail.
Hey, Gail.
Hi. I'll put this dream out for what it's worth. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I dreamed a big old bear was chasing me, and then there were a lot of people with me, and we got chased into this shack. And then I realized, so we're all in the shack, and the bear comes in too. And there was a wolf with the bear, and I could feel the bear, his furry on my leg. So I was going to reach down. I said, I wonder if I should pet him. Maybe he'll be nice, right? But I didn't, so that was the end of the dream. I think the bear was the bear market, and I think the wolves will come with the crash, which happens, and you know, to take advantage of the destitute. The shack was interesting. It wasn't Mount Zion for sure. I think that we will be, you know, chased into, away from our homes into, you know, just something that people can survive in, you know. So, anyway, that was a dream. I wouldn't say it was certainly not a vision of any sort. It was just kind of an unexpected kind of a dream for me.
Yeah, you may have interpreted it as well. I know that Greece has been given an ultimatum. It's a no-win situation for them.
Yep.
So I don't know. The EU wants to take away their sovereignty and just run affairs for them. Germany's wanting to do that. The bottom line is, yes, they don't have any money. There's nothing that they've got that's, you know, that Germany can use for money that I know of. Germany's in bad shape because of Greece, and it was the stoutest EU member over there. So, you know, it's just kind of, it looks like it's going to be kind of like a domino effect here. So I don't know. We'll just look and see. We'll wait and see. I know that Puerto Rico just announced they couldn't repay the debt to the U.S., $72 billion. And Mexico's right behind it. Argentina, I think, is bad shape. A lot of countries, Russia, China, the whole world is in a financial bankrupt right now.
Read that the United States is actually in worse situation. It's only because we're able to fake it. You know, we can print our money and we can prop up the stock market, you know, with and that we're actually in more debt than any other country, from what I've read.
Absolutely. I think I read the same article, Gail, that said that if you compared Greece to America, Greece is financially stable.
Yep. I remember reading that.
We have superior liars.
Yeah, we've got superior liars. We do. We've got people that got sharper pencils on the paper.
Right. We're professionals.
They're professional liars. That's right. The people in charge are professional liars. And anyway, but God's he's doing this. So we just sit back and watch, and we just know that God's going to provide everything for us. And that's how we do this. You know, I would suggest that everybody start believing God for things right now and start watching for them. Amen.
Well, I don't think we can be nice to the bear and it'll be nice back. I don't think that's who we're going to. He's not going to help us.
Yeah. I got all my $2 out of the bank last week, so I'm not worried about it.
That's good. Well, you know, your family doesn't want to. All I could say to my sister was I think that she. I mean, I couldn't really tell her what I feel we're about to, what's about to take place, you know. But I did say, I brought up, you know, Greece or something. I said, yeah, I've got to watch your money. And she goes, yeah. So, I mean, that's about as, you know, you just kind of sense that's about as much as really you can say at this point. They have to see for themselves that... yeah, I mean, I'd like to tell her to get out of the city. I don't know if I see if I can finagle that one, work on it.
Yeah.
But you know what does she do? She's 80 years old, owns her home, and she's alone. I mean, she spent her money on to buy the house. I mean, where will she go? What, she can't sell the house, you know, not in the next year.
She needs to go in the Ark of Christ. That's the best place to go. That's where you get all your safety
in. I know. Well, she's got her theology degree, graduate degree from Boston University. So I thought maybe she might say answers for me, but she hasn't. No, the problem is it's all just theology. It's not real, you know. She doesn't believe, I don't think. Yeah.
Amen. Sometimes
in fact, I ask her about I had a biblical question. I thought, you know, with all of her education, she might have an answer. She goes, "Oh, well, you know, it's kind of whatever you want to make of it." You know, like, you know, yeah, okay. I mean, after all those thousands of dollars and all those years of studying, well, whatever you want to see it, that's cool.
Well, generally speaking, seminary and theological schools like that will take the God out of it.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, boy, she's a screaming liberal now, Boston University, right? Yeah. Yeah, right behind Martin Luther King there. Oh, well. So, that was my little scary dream.
Well, thank you very much. That
You're welcome.
Sounds like a pretty good dream.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else?
Yeah, Michael?
Yes, sir. Hey, Marla.
Yeah, we weren't on earlier. We had to go to the funeral home, so I don't know what you've all talked about. But I have a praise report I'd just like to share. Actually, I got a couple of them. And we really know that the Lord was in those because there isn't any other way those would have happened. First, we had an eggplant in our yard or garden that died, and we prayed over that, and it looks really good and healthy. And our daughter had called, and she's telling us about how her stuff was dying because the bugs were getting it. And we told her, we said, well, we just would pray over ours. And, well, she never thought of doing that, she said. And I don't know, it was a couple of weeks later, we got a email from her, and she said, I prayed with all my heart, and I haven't seen a bug since. And that was really a big step for her because, I mean, she goes to church, but she's, you know, in the old, whatever you call it, you know, she's not in a true church that's teaching truth. And so that was a really big step for us. And then the other thing I wanted to share was, I think you guys last night probably prayed, because we talked to David yesterday about this sister-in-law of ours that we've been praying for. She has stage 4 cancer, and we've been praying and believing for her. But this last week, we found out that she had gotten really angry with her daughter, and her daughter had been staying at home taking care of her, and she actually, this lady is in the hospital, she can hardly talk, but she actually kicked her daughter out of the house and told her she didn't want to see her again and wouldn't have anything to do with her, and several of the family tried to talk to her, and we called David yesterday and talked to him because we had a few questions we wanted to ask him, and then we asked him if you guys would pray last night in the prayer meeting, and I'm sure you did. Today we went in last night and we were going to talk to her. We just felt we really needed to talk to her, and because at her condition she is, and not having any having unforgiveness, that's a really bad place to be in. So we went in last night, but when we got there, the room was full of people, and the spirit there was just terrible. And so we just felt there wasn't no way we could do any good witnessing there. But we prayed for her, and we did cast out, cast out the spirits that we could think of and bind up the works and activities of them. And today her sister-in-law called us and said, and we did pray that God would change her heart. And today her sister-in-law called and said that last night, late at night, during the night after everybody had left, she talked to her and her daughter came up and they got things straightened out and made amends. And we know only the Lord could do that because her spirit and her, the anger she had was, nobody else was going to change that. Only God could do that. And I think, again, that's just a lesson for us that sometimes God doesn't, we don't always have to do something. He just wants us to pray for things. And I just think that's really a good witness for that.
Amen. Yes, we did. We prayed for her last night. We prayed for a while and for her in the spirit as well. So, praise God. Praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Did you hear me talking about the storms blew through here, Marley?
No, we just got on before I talked here.
Well, Tim's out there right now with the UBM tractor clearing the roads over where he lives and in that area. Tornado touched down somewhere around Hiwassee College and went down toward the Lost Sea. And, of course, that's where Tim and Trish and Michael Levesque and Sue live, and Kevin and Holly live over in that area. Kevin and Holly didn't experience it near what Tim and them did. Tim said he had about 10 to 12 trees blown down. His antenna on top of the house, a radio antenna, it went over double. It blew over. But there was no damage to the house. Even that little tree there right at the corner of his house blew over. I say little, it was a big tree. Didn't hit the house, went out in the driveway. So we praise God that nobody was hurt and none of the UBM tractor was parked under a tree at Tim's house. The tree blew over, but it missed the tractor by a mile. Whoa, here's David, scared me dead, slipped in here. I don't know. What did you see anything out there? This David just walked in.
The only one really is bothered at all is Tim.
It's Tim.
In the clear, and Tim just lost those trees. I didn't get to Tim's house from either direction because
68 block.
Tornado took a bunch of trees in on the road out.
Yeah.
But, so I couldn't get to Tim's from either direction. So.
Nobody hurt or anything. It doesn't look like.
Not even really anybody's personal property damage.
Oh, okay. Well, praise God. There you heard it. David been out scouting around, and Tim was out on the tractor, he said earlier.
Yeah.
Clearing the roads for the emergency people. Okay, that's it. That's what happened here. Anyway, Marlon, that's kind of an update. I hadn't heard from Greg yet. I don't think they had any damage over in that area. on the college itself. So that's where we are.
Well, that's good. No one got hurt. The Lord take care of his people.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else?
So we got really nice sunshine here.
Well, that's nice, Malcolm.
I guess you could argue this is, could it be chance or something. Of course, there's no chance in God's kingdom. But I was driving down a kind of a steep part of a road, clipping along at the speed limit, and a black squirrel came out from the left side of the road heading to the right with a nice big pine cone in its mouth. It was the cutest scene, you know. The problem was there was no way I could avoid it. I could swerve slightly, but it was just inevitable. His velocity and mine were just going to the same spot, so I didn't know what to say. I just said, "Jesus, no." That's all I could get out. I'm kind of a Bambi lover, so it just makes me sick when I run over a squirrel or a chipmunk or whatever. So anyway, so there was no thump thump under the tires, and I looked back behind me, and the squirrel apparently must have kind of stopped right as I straddled him or her, and then he just took off across the road behind me. So I was just, I had my hands in the air trying to steer, you know, without with my knees or whatever, and just praising God, and I was pretty happy there for a while. But it's,
thank you, Lord.
You know, think about it. That's kind of a small thing, but still, for me, it was a big deal.
Oh yeah, absolutely. A black squirrel, huh?
Yeah, we have a few black squirrels around here, and then some of the other just regular ones.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Did he still have the pine cone in his mouth?
Pine cone, and still have the pine cone. Yep. He didn't lose his num nums there.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Anybody got a story? A word from the Lord. Well, all right. Michael, you got anything you'd like to share tonight?
Are you talking about me, brother?
Yes, sir.
Well, these are just such sober times. I think I've been trying to be very careful in my walk and in my heart to just not to be... like I'm thinking of that scripture that in Psalm 131 that says, "Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor are mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have quieted and behaved myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is as a weaned child." And I believe there's a weaning that's going on where we're being weaned from our emotions, learning to walk by faith, not by sight. And the Lord's allowing us to be prepared because we're coming into a time of great intensity where our theology is, the scripture that I keep thinking of, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 3. Paul starts off when he says, "I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So it's neither he that plants nor he that waters, but it's anything, but it's God that gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building." Paul says, "According to the grace of God given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another man buildeth thereupon, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. For another foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble." This is the part that's been in my spirit. "For every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet he himself will be saved as by fire. But it says the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. The day shall declare it." The day that I think of is the one in Ephesians 6 when he says, Therefore, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. The day that's at hand is the evil day. And it's not evil in the sense that God's people are, but it is an evil day. It's a dark day when the Lord even talks about the day of the Lord. It's a dark day. But it's a day that's going to reveal every man's work of what sort it is. The foundations on the house on the rock and the house on the sand, the doers and the hearers, the one thing that they both have in common is they will both be vehemently tested. But actually, the thing that is going to be different is that with the saints of God, you know, it says, first of all, he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wise man. It says in Luke, who dig deep, laid his foundation on a rock, and the rain descended, the floods arose, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it stood, for it was founded on a rock. The actual shaking that's coming is the catalyst that not only destroys the wicked, but manifests the righteous. It's like it says in there, wherein eight souls were saved by water. The very water that destroyed the world was the salvation of those that were in the ark. And the same thing where it says in there, it's in Hebrews 12, when it says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escaped not that refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he is promising, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but the heavens. And this word yet once more signifies the removing of the things that are shaken as of things that are made, so that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. It's the reason for the shaking is not only to destroy what's false, but to manifest what is true. And I believe that that's really, you know, if things continue as they have been, as we've known, where there's all kinds of shades of gray, where everything calls itself a Christian, where there's 900 churches everywhere, that whole thing is not going to be a catalyst or a backdrop that will bring forth the truth. Somebody's got their phones. It has to be an extreme time to bring forth those that have some iron in their soul and those that have substance in their walk and those that have true faith and those that don't. It takes a shaking to really reveal it, but it's going to be the catalyst that brings forth the true. And I think with all of us, we need to stay in a humble place. I remember when it talks about in Zephaniah, I won't go into the whole thing, but he says, before the decree goes forth, before the day of the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, seek the Lord, ye meek of the earth, seek righteousness and seek meekness. Perchance you'll be hidden in the day of his wrath. And it's a time of humility. It's a time when we don't want to be arrogant. We want to be in humility before God, but no fearfulness. The fear is not a place to walk. It's a time of faith, time to walk by faith, not by sight, not what we feel, not what our emotions are saying. You know, I like when he says in Psalm 46, you know, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should be removed, and though the mountains should slip in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. It says, for there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she will not be moved. God will help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold, the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaketh the bow, cutteth the spear in sunder, burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. But when we will not fear, though the earth should be removed, though the mountains should slip into the midst of the sea. The things he lists there are things that many in many places in the scripture it talks about in the last days, the seas with waves roaring and the mountains shaking and quaking and the the mountains were no more, and every island and mountain were moved out of their place. I mean, there's a shaking coming to this earth that we have nothing to reference it to. But it's a time when we need to be in that place where our kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered hence. But that's not our kingdom at all. And all we need to be right now is the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. People don't light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick that it gives light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then he says also, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of men. And God is going to see to it that religion that has no salt is getting ready to get trodden by men, and he's going to allow it. He's going to send the people to tread on it. Because the Lord said of the Laodicean people, I would that you were cold or hot, but if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you from my mouth. I'd rather have you cold than lukewarm. You know, and you know, cold coffee is good, hot coffee is good, but lukewarm, nobody wants it. It's the same thing with Christianity. We don't want lukewarm. And I believe that this is a time. For the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire will try every man's work of what sort it is. The thing I have in my spirit is that there is nothing that is not going to be made manifest for what it really is. There's no, all the wool's coming off, all the sheepskins coming off the wolves, everything's going to be made manifest. We're not going to have any more plated goods. It's going to be 24 karat or nothing else. And when the brothers have had visions of these days and that vision's beyond the veil, the brother H.A. Baker spoke and said that the day would come when the intensity would be so great that unless a man was full of the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't last one day. And I really, I heard testimony by a brother last night, and he said that all over the testimonies he's getting is people have never encountered such intensity of warfare as they're encountering right now. And I think my wife and I have been a little surprised recently at the intensity of the firestorm sometimes we find ourselves in. But, you know, none of these things do move me, neither do I count my life dear to me that I should fulfill the ministry that I've received of the Lord. That's what Paul says in Acts 20. None of these, you know, the thing that he says, that bonds and afflictions await me, but he says none of these things do move me, nor do I count my life dear to me. And we need to be in that place where that eternal kingdom, we're pressing for the reality of that thing, because when we see that pearl of great price, that precious pearl of great price, which he said the kingdom of heaven is as a pearl of great price, which a merchant man, when he found that one pearl of great price, sold everything he had that he might possess it. And as a treasure hidden in a field, whom a man, when he found it, for the joy thereof, goes and sells everything that he had that he might purchase the field. And as he said in the 14th chapter of Acts, I think around the 22nd verse, he said he went to Iconium, Antioch, and Lystra, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing in this world that's worth the distraction. I see people right now, and this is a scary thing to me, because I'm watching people that I thought had a certain amount of stability, a certain amount of depth, a certain amount of iron in their soul, and all of a sudden they're going off on tangents, and you go, what on earth is that all about? I mean, wake up, Jack. What's going on? You know, and people are selling, you know, find themselves on some weird doctrinal thing or running after some little honey, and you go, man, it's just a piece of meat. Don't go there, you know. But people are selling their birthrights for a bowl of soup. And it's a time where the currents are getting stronger and stronger, and all of the everything that's not real. We need to strive for reality in our experience with the Lord and in our walk with God, because everything's getting ready to be fire tested, and all the fluff's coming off. There's not going to be anybody that's a pretender. The pretenders are all going to be washed away, like this, the vehement testing that tries the foundation. We need to be where what we have is reality, that the things we speak and the things we think and the things we do and the things we are all one, that we're consistent with what we speak, what we say, what we are. It's all the same thing. We're not plated goods. We're 24 karat all the way through. That we're not just you know, Jesus talked again and again of the Pharisees as being whited sepulchres that indeed appear outwardly to look good to men. We don't care about looking good to men. We want to be in a place where God is pleased with the thoughts and intents of our heart. He says, is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. We are bare but naked before the living God. He sees the very intents of our heart. And we need to plead with God for the light of God, to welcome the light of God, which is not a pleasant thing. You know, it says, he that does evil hates light. Well, first he says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that does evil hates light, neither comes to it, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth will come to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest as having been wrought in God. And when we're in a place where we are not hiding, I've noticed when people get in a place where they're in some darkness, they don't want to be around brothers that are going to convict them or speak to them or exhort them. They hide. But we need to be in a place where we welcome the light of God in our. We say, Lord God, shine your light. Lord God, bring to light the hidden things of darkness in my own heart. Bring to light the things that are mixture, where I have an alliance to the world or alliance with the enemy. Lord God, bring it to light. Let's deal with it. Let's deal with it now. Let's allow God to judge right now. We want judgment. It's the best thing we can get is judgment now, not judgment later, judgment now. For if you will judge yourself, you will not be judged. And brothers and sisters, that fire that's coming is going to try. There's a day that's going to declare it, because it could try every man's work. For the day shall declare it, for it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire that's coming, the intensity of the storm, is going to manifest and bring to light everything for what it really is. That which this is the day, and the Lord spoke this to my heart, that this was now. That, and I've shared it before, but that scripture where he said, to him that has, to him shall be given more, and he shall have abundance. And he that has not from him shall be taken, even what he has. And there's a revealing right now where God's going to reveal what's, in one place it says, that which he seemeth to have. And many people seem to have some substance and some reality. But I encourage you, my brothers and sisters, to be very honest with yourself and with God and with one another. Your best friend is the guy that will wound you. I mean, in a righteous way, in the way that the scripture says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. We don't want a kiss right now when we need a wound. We don't want someone to give us a little cookie when we need a whooping. We need to be in a place where we'll say, brother, can I speak to you about something that's troubling me, about that's going on in your heart? And I watched this again and again, and I must address it. You know, there's people that just people be nice to me, never. If we love our brother, we'll speak the truth to them in love, but we'll speak the truth. I have two people that I know of very well. One was a closer friend, and one was I got to know him a little. And they ripped off their brothers for a lot of money. You know, like one was $1,500, one was $2,500, just ripped off a brother. And they think they're going on in ministry. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I don't think so. I think you're going to have to deal with that, or you're going to go round and round that mountain, and there's a blindness that comes into your spirit, an open door to the enemy. We want to come into a place where we got nothing to hide. And I really believe that this is the time, brothers, to make sure your foundations, which is something the Spirit spoke to my heart clearly, make sure your foundation, because it's getting ready to get fire tested, and I don't think we really have a reference point to. He was talking about, you know, that the power's out over at Tim's house, or possibly, you know, brothers, these are the lightweight things. The things that are getting ready to happen, how about no more power forever? How about, you know, where you have to trust God for everything? You can't have a plan B. Where God has got to be your healer, he's got to be your provider, he's got to be your strength, your refuge, your defense, your guide, and some of us right now have that in theology, but God is going to test it. And I pray right now that when we come into, when that day declares it, that what we have is real, that what we have is substance, and that what we have is not a lovely theology, because the day will declare it. Everything is getting ready to be made manifest. There's nothing going to be hidden. Nothing that's not going to be. That which is done in secret is going to be shouted on the housetop. So find you a friend that will wound you. You guys have a better situation there than we do. You have a dear brothers around there that will. You can exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any man be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, we need that. We need brothers that will speak the truth to us. You don't want somebody that just give you a cookie and a BB and tell you go night-night. You know, you want somebody that's going to lay on the line when you need to be laid on the line. My best friends are the people that will tell it like it is to my heart. I seek out brothers that will exhort me and smoke my hindquarters if it needs be. And I encourage you, brothers, that's the kind of friends you want. You want friends that will speak the truth to you. You want to have that kind of a... We've got to come to a place where we side with God against our own heart. Because sometimes the heart of man, and he isn't speaking about some hearts, the heart of man is deceitful. Above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the Lord will reveal it. And if we're willing to be honest with God, willing to be honest with one another, and we love the truth, we come into a agreement with him, we're going to end up siding against our own nature. And we're going to let that man, Christ Jesus, that's been planted within you, that new birth, let him grow up, and he will increase, as John the Baptist said, and I must decrease. And that's the way it's going to be. And may Christ increase in every one of you, dear brothers and sisters. May you in this hour, I don't think we have a reference point for the intensity of the hour that's coming. I don't think we've been kind of in a soft generation. Even the oldest of it were young bucks when the war was around in World War II. But I think that we're in a time right now where we're getting ready to find out what the rest of the world's been going through for a long time, and our theology is going to get fire tested. So may the Lord, when he tries us by fire, we be found unto praise, honor, and glory. And may it be, if any man's works, he says, if any man's works shall be burned, he will suffer loss. But there's also that which will stand the fire. And may we have gold, silver, and precious stones in the spirit. May we be those people that are that come through the fire. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the only thing that burns off of us are the bonds that hold us.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. That is so true. I wanted to follow up with what Michael was talking about. Marlene, one of the ladies here that comes up to our morning prayer groups, yesterday morning had a word from the Lord. Yesterday afternoon, I'm sorry. She had a word from the Lord Sunday afternoon. I'll get it right here in a minute. And she was going to take a nap, and she sat down in her easy chair, and as soon as she did, the Lord spoke to her heart and said, guard your relationship with me, for it is precious. Always seek me in everything you do. Call on me often, and I will guide you. I love you, and I will care for you. Guard your relationship with me, for it is precious. It is so precious. It's your life. It is the lifeline that you're going to need in the days ahead. Guard your relationship with me, for it is precious. Always seek me in everything you do. And that is true. You have to seek the Lord for everything you do. Call on me often, and I will guide you. He does. He'll guide you into the way that he wants you to go, and you'll not see. You're going to see trials, but you're not going to see the bad things that happen to people. He says, I will love you and I will care for you. Praise the name of the Lord. That is an awesome word. Along with what Michael was talking about, also, she got Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 33, that says it. And she asked a word after she got the word from the Lord, from the word. And she got Ezekiel 20, verse 33. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out will I be king over you. And I will bring you out from the peoples and will gather you out of the countries wherein you are scattered with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with wrath poured out. I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there will I enter into judgment with you face to face. Praise be to God. Don't give up your relationship with the Lord. He says it's precious. It is precious to the Lord, and it's precious to you. I want to also thank you, Michael. That was awesome, man. It's right on target for what I wanted to share a little bit about tonight. But before we do, I'd like to ask for any comments on what Michael said or what this word was. And I'm going to unmute some people. Linda, I had to mute you, and Marissa, I had to mute you. I don't know if you know where your mute button is. Okay, has anybody got anything they'd like to add or comment about?
Hey, Michael.
Yes.
I'd just like to give a testimony concerning Michael's comments, too.
Sure, go ahead.
A few weeks ago, I was going to go to Nashville because my two daughters are flying from different states to meet with their mother, my ex-wife, and I really wanted to see them, and so that was my plans. I thought I had enough money, and I had a transportation, and I just felt in my flesh anyway that that's what I was supposed to do. And then I heard Michael's testimony about going to Panama and his ordeal through all that, and I got to thinking, you know, I know it was the Lord, and so I threw 5 quarters and got 3 tails, and I just really felt like I wasn't supposed to go. I was really disappointed, but, you know, I decided, okay, well, Lord, if you don't want me to go, I won't go. Well, I got a call from my youngest daughter. They're there now, and she has a doctor's appointment she's got to get back to. So her husband is driving out to pick her up, and their plans are to go ahead and come on out here to see me for a day. So God just worked all that out, and I really appreciate Michael Montana's testimony of his trip, and it helped me to be obedient to the Lord. So that's my testimony. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Kurt. Absolutely. We need to know if God wants us to go or not. You don't want to end up in the basement of a Panama guard. All right. Anybody else got any comments they'd like to share about what Michael was talking about or anything else? It's
Amen.
Yeah, go ahead.
Me, I just wanted to say that everything that he said is happening here. I'm completely living it out. The more I just stand and make everything inwardly and outwardly conform to Christ, the more it's like activating the God of wonders, and the God that says all things are possible to those that believe is like... I'm just standing in the finished work of Christ, and I'm saying, okay, Father, I'm in agreement with you and what you did. I'm believing on the one you sent, and I'm watching God just totally take over and perform. It's like his works are beginning to flow through his people. And I don't say much because it's so overwhelming what God is doing. That I guess I just wait for the Holy Spirit to move on me when to speak. But I think that we're all getting ready to cross over a line from the natural to the supernatural. And a lot of us, whether we like it or not. So that's what I wanted to say. It was a perfect word. And... perfect for the time, good anointing on that, and praise God for that word.
Amen. Thank you, sister. All right, anybody else?
Hey, Michael.
Hey, go ahead, Tim.
Okay. Yeah, I just got back home, but kind of fill in. We just had this storm come through here this afternoon, and it just got real dark, and I could hear just. I went outside to do a few things before the storm hit, and there was a continual rumble. And it just never stopped. It was just a rumble that was rumbling just, you know, in the background, and it just never stopped. It was just thunder after thunder after thunder. And it just rolled and rolled and rolled and rolled. And then finally we, you know, the storm came in, and there was just gusts of wind that were just amazing. It just seemed like it was flowing one way. I mean, the water was just going totally horizontal. And then I looked out and it would be flying the other way. And I don't know if it was a tornado or what it was. I mean, I didn't hear any train or anything like that, but I just heard, all of a sudden I just heard cracking. And there was just trees that were just being snapped off. There was one, you know, right next to our house that, you know, just splintered. And we have a total of, in our yard alone, we had 12 or 13 trees that are, you know, just totally gone. And one of the amazing things is I had the ministry tractor parked underneath a tree, and on the other side of the tree was our chicken coop. And this is a, you know, pretty big old tree, and that tree just totally splintered and came down. And I've got a picture of the tractor. I mean, the Lord just totally protected that tractor. There was branches all around it, but there was nothing touching the tractor. And there was only one branch that was on the roof of the chicken coop, but the rest of this tree was just gone. And we have a hoop house, which is just PVC and Visqueen. And I was just praying over that because I saw that thing blowing up. And so I was just praying over that. And I was just, you know, praying protection over the house and over, you know, over the property. And that hoop house is perfect. I mean, it's just, I can't believe that a plastic hoop house stayed up like that. But in our house, there's no damage to the house. I mean, the tree that came down, you know, blew away from the house, and pretty much every tree that came down didn't cause any, you know, didn't hit anything or anything like that. I went down and helped a neighbor that lives two doors down, and he had a huge old tree on his house, and he had another tree came down and smashed two of his vehicles. And then around the corner from that, I mean, there was about three, you know, pretty big trees just laying across the road. There's electrical lines down everywhere. I mean, I was just going down the road, and they're swooping 3-4 feet off the ground, and they're laying across the road and stuff like that. So I was just going around and just helping to remove trees from the road. And I was using the ministry's tractor to push stuff off the road and just kind of clear paths so we can, you know, get through, because we were totally blocked in. So I was able to clear my driveway because I had two trees laying across the driveway, and I got through that, and I got out to the road. And I helped, you know, some people just move stuff off the road so the rescue can, you know, get in. And, you know, we just kind of worked our way down across the road, and then finally the fire department came by and says, hey, can you go down, you know, to the end of the street and give them a hand, because we've got a call back there and we can't get back there. And I finally get down there, and this tree was so huge. I mean, it was laying on its side and sideways. This tree was probably 30 feet in the air, just on its side. It was so huge. And luckily, somebody showed up with a huge, you know, just a huge, you know, backhoe. And then there was some fire fires. You know, I had a little 18-inch chainsaw, and these guys are pulling out these chainsaws that were like 3-foot long or, you know, 4-foot long, these huge chainsaws. And so finally, you know, I was able to, you know, once I saw, you know, the manpower they had, I went back and back over to another house that had a tree on it, and by then a bunch of volunteer fire departments showed up there. But the Lord had appointments for me. There was a lady there who was kind of real skinny, kind of small, but you know, kind of little. I mean, she's a little firecracker. I don't know how old she was. She, you know, she was probably, I would guess, in her, you know, her, you know, late 50s, early 60s. And her one hand was totally like, you know, I would say like, it looked like it was withered. It was all, you know, like curled up on her one hand. And, you know, she looked kind of odd. She was trying to smoke a cigarette with this curled up hand and that. And so she, you know, I ended up, you know, Laura just had an appointment. I just started talking to her, and here she was a nurse in Afghanistan, and she was telling me, she showed me she had a bullet. She was riding in a Humvee, and I guess a bullet somehow came in through the turret on top and just started ricocheting all through the inside of this Humvee, and it went through her arm. Her other arm actually went through her arm and then went into her side and then apparently hit her rib cage and ricocheted and came up and stuck in her shoulder. And that's the arm that, you know, that was withered. And then her other arm, you know, her arm had a, I mean, you could see the scars and that from that. And then she starts sharing with me that after she got out of the hospital from that, they put her on another base. And she was just kind of helping out on that base. And one day she was riding in a Humvee, and they got hit by a you know, roadside bomb. And either people on either side of her were killed. And she said because she felt that because she was loaded down with all the medical gear, that you know, saved her life. But she ended up, she lost a leg and has a prosthetic in her arm. And, you know, she's sharing all this stuff with me and you know, because I was asking her about her hand. So I ended up just sharing with her. I asked her if she knew the Lord, and she asked me, she says, yeah, I was brought up Catholic, but I'm looking for a non-denominational church, you know. And so I just started talking to her about just reading the Word and believing everything in the Word. And I started sharing with her what the Scripture says about healing and about, you know, when we're weak is when God is strong. And I was just quoting Scripture with her, and, you know, just the promises of the good news and, you know, what the good news says. I was just encouraging her to just get into her Word and just start believing everything in her Word. And she was, she was agreeing with me and that, and I could tell she didn't have much depth. And then the awesome thing was is I asked if I could pray for her. So what I did is I was telling her the good news. I was just giving her Scriptures, and I was just speaking faith into her. And so finally I said, I got to get going. I said, can I pray for you? And she was like, yeah, you know, pray for me. And she held up both her hands and bowed her head and grabbed onto my hands, you know, which, you know, it was so awesome because she was just kind of this like a little frail lady. And I just started praying, and it was awesome because she just started weeping, and then I was talking to, you know, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about unforgiveness, and I said, you know that there's somebody, you know, that there's, you know, has she forgiven everybody? Is there anybody that when their name comes up, And she, you know, she told me about she had somebody try to break in her house, and that was on meth, and they were trying to rob her, and she had a gun, and she shot through the door and almost killed the guy, and but he wouldn't go away. You know, he kept pursuing, and you know, she you know, she shot through the door again, and you know, so she started sharing that, and so then I said you know, he was on drugs, you know, that's a demon, okay, that there was a spirit behind that, and it had taken over his body, you know, he was just a vessel, and you know, it wasn't him, it was the demons behind those drugs. And she totally agreed with me, and I said, you need to forgive him. I said, God cannot forgive you unless you forgive him. And you know, and she agreed, and so we continued to pray, and she started weeping again, and we get done praying, and it was awesome because she was like, you know, she felt the power of God go through her. She says, I've never felt anything like that before. And I said, that wasn't me, that was the Lord. You know, that was just, the Lord was touching you. And she was just like, you know, and it was kind of weird because she kept trying to give me the glory. And I was like, no, that was the Lord. I said, you've got to believe that your arm is healed. And she went to, and I said, you need to use that arm right now. I said, you've got to, you know, you got to believe it. You know, you can rebuke the pain. I said, but you got to believe that arm is healed, and the Lord has healed that arm. And she went to grab me, or grab my arm, and she was like, wow, something happened to my arm. I wasn't able to do this. And I said, you got to just keep believing that the Lord, that your arm is healed. I said, don't accept any what you see. Don't accept what you feel. You got to believe that that arm is healed. You know, she's like, yeah, I'm believing that. I'm believing that, you know. And but it was absolutely awesome that, you know, that the, you know, when we just step out in faith and the Lord just shows up like that. But, you know, she was just in total awe. And she's like, you know, she wants more of God. She wants, you know, more of his word. And I just told her, I said, it's all in his word. I said, don't worry about finding a church. Just get into the Bible. And so then I prayed for her that the Lord was going to open up her eyes to the word and give her a hunger for the word and that. And so it was just a divine appointment, and it was pretty awesome. But so it was kind of neat that, you know, I was in this situation with, you know, trees down everywhere, power lines and all this, and the Lord just set up this divine appointment, you know, to pray for this lady, and she received. It was just absolutely awesome. And I saw it as a type of what is to come, as far as when the Lord starts shaking things and there's devastation around us, how he's going to be using us just to be out there and just sharing the gospel, just sharing the truth, and just praying for people, and the Lord's going to come through, and they're going to see the Lord. So I was just seeing just a total type of what's to come. So I just wanted to share that. Amen.
Amen. What a testimony, Tim. What an awesome testimony. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Always have to be ready. Always have to be ready to share the gospel.
Hey, I want to pray one thing, because she shared this with me and I didn't pray for her, but I do have her phone number, and I told her I was going to get her a book. I was going to get her a Sovereign God book and that. So, but I do want to. She's being tormented with. She's being tormented by flashbacks you know, from being in Afghanistan and this, you know, just the just everything she went through as far as with this, you know, her friends being killed right next to her and, you know, being shot and all that. She, you know, she said that she was telling me that she's sought medical help, and usually when people have flashbacks, it's in black and white. And she said hers are in like total color, like she is exact. She's there right then and there. And she shared that with me. And you know, I guess I'm going to have another chance to pray with her. But I just want to pray right now, you know, over, you know, just to come against, you know, these flashbacks. And so, Father, right now, I just looked up this Sam to you, Lord, and I just praise you, Lord. You are awesome that you set up that appointment, and it was all you. And, Lord, I just thank you for just blessing that lady. She's been through a lot, and she was open to you. She was open to prayer. She was humble, and she wants more, Lord. And right now she is hungry. You touched her, and she wants more of you, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for that, Lord. You are just you're just an awesome Father. And we just thank you for just blessing that lady. And we just thank you that you've touched her, that she is healed, and that that healing started to manifest in her hand. And Lord, we're believing a total manifestation, a total healing, that she's going to have total use of that hand. And she's going to give you the glory. And we just thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for that manifestation. We just bind and rebuke the enemy from stealing from her. And, Lord, right now, I just come against these night terrors. I come against these flashbacks. I come against these tormenting thoughts that she is having. And we just call just peace into her mind, Lord. We just rebuke these if it's fear, if it's, you know, whatever the torment came in, we just, whatever those spirits are that are trying to keep her bound up and keep her back into that terrible situation, we just forbid that from coming into her memory. We forbid that from just tormenting this woman. And we just bind and rebuke those spirits, and we command them not to speak into her thoughts anymore. And we just thank you for that, that you're just going to give her total peace and total rest. And we praise you for that, Lord. And we thank you for just letting her on fire for you, that this testimony, she'll just speak to others and get others just on fire for you, Lord. And we just praise you and thank you for all that you're going to do in her life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for completely delivering her from those tormenting dreams, those tormenting flashbacks. In Jesus' name, we command that spirit to cease right now. We bind up your works right now, cast you off of her. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Tim. That was awesome, man. That is really awesome. If she's seeking for the truth and hungry for the truth, God's going to give it to her in a mighty way. That was not a chance meeting, was it?
Not at all. Not at all. And the thing is the other interesting thing is, I mean, she came up and, I mean, she was just kind of, I mean, the first, you can't go by looks at all. You can't go by first impressions. I mean, you know, she came up, she's got a cigarette in one hand, a monster drink in the other hand, her hands all withered up, and you know, and she was out there working, you know, removing these trees. She was filthy, dirty, and just kind of spunky, and she started talking to me, and I'm thinking, you know, the first thing we want to do is judge somebody, you know, and then her son was, you know, kind of drawn her away, thinking that she was like bothering me. Because I could have been doing something, but, you know, I was just patient with her, and then she started, I asked her about her hand, and the door just opened, and then, you know, I just started just just giving her the gospel, just little teaspoons, just little teaspoon, what the word says, and just feeding her just a little bit, you know. And then he totally took it from there, and it was awesome, you know. So we just gotta be available. We can't judge, and you know, he'll use us. That's the neat thing. Amen.
Amen. No, you can't judge. You can't judge. Greg gave a testimony of the tattooed guy, you know, that was so loving. And he'd gotten the tattoos before he'd come to Christ, you know. And he was tatted up all over his face and his arms and everything, you know. But he was out there exemplifying Christ's love with people. So, yeah, that's you got to be, man, I tell you, you have to be ready to share the gospel at all times. Praise the Lord. That was awesome.
Hey, is Julie Teague in the room?
No, Judy's she's not in the room.
Okay. Because she shared a testimony with me that she was on the, one day she was taking the bus to work, and there was a guy on the bus, and he was all tatted up, and, you know, he had, you know, demons and skulls and just all this demonic stuff just all over his arms. And, you know, she's looking at him, and he's wearing a Jesus hat. And, you know, so she said, she just kind of like, what's up? And she really, she went up to him, and she asked him, she asked him why she had a Jesus hat on. And she said this guy just came alive and just started preaching the gospel and all this stuff. And he looked down at his arms. He said he was just preaching Jesus. You know, he was just on fire for Jesus. And he looks down at his arms. He says, yeah, this is before I got saved. I wish I would never have done this, you know. And
that's awesome.
So we could get into such a judgment just by our flesh. And here this guy got saved. He's on fire for the Lord, but he's got all these demonic tattoos all over his arms. But, you know, we can't judge. We cannot judge. So that's what he's teaching us. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, amen. That's right. We have to be led by the Spirit. As Tim so eloquently talks about all the time, is we can't judge a person by how they look. We have to judge them by the Spirit, you know. We talk to somebody by the Spirit. We don't talk to them by what they look like. Somebody gets on you, it's not them, it's the Spirit. Praise God. All right. Praise the Lord. Man, it's been awesome. It has been awesome. I wanted to relate something here that I ran across from Andrew Murray, Absolute Surrender. And what he says is this. He says, unity gives strength. It is only when God's people stand as one body, one before God in the fellowship of love, one toward another in deep affection, one before the world in a love that the world can see, it is only then that they will have power to secure the blessing which they ask of God. Remember that if a vessel that ought to be one whole is cracked into many pieces, it cannot be filled. You can take a potsherd, one part of a vessel, and dip out a little water into that. But if you want the vessel full, the vessel must be whole. And that's literally true of Christ's church. And if there's one thing we must pray for still, it is this, Lord. Melt us together into one by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit, who at Pentecost made them all of one heart and one soul, do his blessed work among us. Praise God, we can love each other in a divine love, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. Give yourself up to love, and the Holy Spirit will come. Receive the Spirit, and he will teach you to love more. How do we come into one accord? We come into one accord because just like they did at Pentecost, they all were abiding in Christ to their fullest. They had given over completely to the Lord. And that's what we must do, to have that full bowl of God's love, his spirit upon each one of us. The whole body must come together in one accord. And that one accord that brings us together is Christ in us. That's the love that God wants us to have. And when we get into that place right there, then guess what happened? The mightiest power in all the universe will blow through you. And revival starts. Lord of God, I'm telling you, we've got power backing us up that made the universe, that created the universe. That's how powerful God is in each and every one of us. Sometimes we want to murmur and we want to complain, God, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Well, it's happening for one of two reasons. We've talked about it before. It's because you need to repent of the things that you're doing and get back to in the Word. Renew your mind with the Word of God and go ahead and change what you were doing into what God wants you to do. Or it's a test of your faith. Are you going to believe God? Or are you going to run to Egypt? That's what God's wanting from his people now. He was wanting 100% absolute surrender to him. And the only way you can do that is to do that. Is to absolutely surrender all to him. Lord, I give it all up to you. I'm going to give you up all of my striving, Lord. I'm going to give up all of my worldly ways, Lord. I'm going to give up everything and run straight for you, Lord. Just like the Shulamite bride. I'm giving it all up for you, Lord. And when you do that, then you're in one accord with Christ. And when you're in one accord with Christ, guess what? Signs and wonders happen. Miracles happen. When you know that you can't do something, when you know that it all hinges on God doing it for you, then guess what happens? The Red Sea parts. And you get to walk across the sea on dry ground. You get to see water coming out of a rock out in the middle of a desert 75 feet high where there ain't no water. And water up 3 million plus people out of a silly rock. That's what God can do. He can do it. Man, he can do anything. He can bring a woman that was a Catholic, brought up a Catholic, that went in the army, this lady that Tim was talking about, and bring her straight to him and heal her body and her mind and her spirit all at one time. That's the God we serve. And there ain't nothing in our lives that God can't fix if we're believing. And what is a believer? That's one who believes what the Lord showed us. That's one who walks in the steps of Jesus, believing everything that he said to do, that he did, and that we can do, and all the promises and the ifs that are in the Word of God. Listen, you can't figure out God unless you read about God and you renew your mind with the Word. That's what God said. Praise the Lord. That's the love that God's wanting in each one of us. When we all come into that one accord, we all bring that bowl melted together into one bowl. And the power of God goes forth, and people's lives are changed because of it. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what it's about. It's about Jesus. And Jesus is not going to give the glory to any one man. Jesus is going to get the glory this time around. It's not going to be Benny Hinn Ministries. It's going to be the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to know who he is and what he is and what he has told in his word about what we need to do. We need to die to self in the world. And that's what he wants from us. He wants us to die from self and the world. Selfishness is not love. When you rather do something yourself rather than sacrifice for your brother or sister, that's not godly. We're not worth anything. We should give our lives for each other. What happens to me, you know, shouldn't matter. It's how I see my brother, how I can help my brother, how my brother can be served better by me. That's how our attitude should be. What does the Lord want me to do? Tim was a prime example of it, you know, going out there and being patient with her and finding out about her. I believe the Holy Spirit was working in Tim at the time, allowing him to do that. And that this lady, she's going to be mightily blessed because of it. And other people that some of y'all have talked to, the one that Marlon and Gano went over and prayed for and talked with, mightily blessed. She's going to be mightily blessed. And, of course, all of you have a testimony to tell, the people that you prayed for that God has worked in their lives. That's the love that Christ is looking for from each one of us, sacrificing our proud, arrogant self, as Michael was talking about. We've got to get to give that up and allow God to work in us to help the people that are, when the shaking starts, there's going to be all kinds of people who want to seek God. And we got to be ready for it. They're going to be tatted up. They're going to have purple hair, red hair, blue hair, sticking straight up. You know, we can't look at that. We got to look at what God wants us to do for them. How can we serve you? And be ready with God that's in us for them. And you share it, give it out. That's what God, fill us up in the evening and we give out in the daytime. Praise God. All right. We're kind of running out of time here. We got about, I don't know, 6 or 7 minutes left. Has anybody got any prayer requests or anything they'd like to talk about?
Yeah, Michael.
Hey, Marlon.
Yeah, I have a prayer request. I'd like to just have people agree with this. Our three daughters are coming home this weekend because there's a, or coming home this week. Actually, we got to have to go pick one up tonight. And having an alumni get together. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to recognize when you open things up for us. We're just believing that you will open up a time when we can talk to those girls and they'll receive truth. And give us the words to speak. Give us the thoughts. We know it's not us, but it's your spirit in us. And just that we'd be guided by your spirit. And we're just thanking you, Lord, that you're going to open things up and you're going to prepare their hearts ahead of time. We know that if you don't prepare things ahead of time, there's no use for us to even talk to them. And we're just believing that by faith, and we're thanking you, Father, for what you're going to do, and just give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a mighty work there in both those girls. Thank you, Lord.
There's actually three of them.
Do what, Marlon?
There's actually three girls coming.
Oh, okay. So you're getting all of them in today, this week, huh?
Yeah, we are. And we're just really, really believing that the Lord's going to open things up so we can talk to them and they'll receive it. We've tried talking to them many times and they just don't want to hear it. But we're just believing he's going to open things up and prepare their hearts ahead of time.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We'll believe with you, brother.
Just like you did with the lady last night that we prayed for. That was all God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you have something, Malcolm, that you wanted to share? Or did you just forget to mute? Okay. All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to pray about, talk about, comment about?
Michael.
Yes, sir.
I just got to spend some time with my daughter, Catherine. She's kind of the country bumpkin girl that lives in the wilderness. And tender heart, and I'd just like to pray that God would finish the work in her. She's tender heart toward the Lord, and she's we're having a real reconciliation, so it's a neat time for her.
Yes. Amen. Go ahead, brother. We'll believe with you.
Well, Father, I pray in Jesus' name for Catherine, that you would visit her, Lord. I know she's had many dreams and visions. I pray you'd visit her, Lord, with deep dealings of the heart, and bring her in, reel her in, Lord God, and heal her wounds and cause her, Lord, to use all of the pain she's been through, Lord, to make her a real woman of God. I pray you'd bring her in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for doing it too, Lord. We praise you, Father. All right, anybody else? Lord, I lift up my middle daughter, Allison, to you, Lord, and I thank you, Lord, that you're going to take her to that place to where she'll call out to you, Lord. She used to know you, Lord, but through circumstances and the world, Father, she's walked away. Lord, I just ask and I pray that you grant repentance to her and draw her close to you, Lord. And I ask that also for Michelle and Courtney, too, Lord. Michelle thinks that she's saved, Lord, but her fruit is not there. And I ask that you draw her in a mighty way. And Courtney, she's trying to take the same road as her husband, calling himself an atheist. But, Lord, I know that you saved her many years ago. And she had a love for you, Lord, back then, too. And I just ask, Lord, that you rekindle that fire in her in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that it's going to happen. Amen. All right, anybody else? Got prayer time. We got a couple of minutes left. Hey, Ian.
Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Gail.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael.
Somebody
go ahead, Gail.
Okay. The woman that at your meeting on Monday night, who the Lord told her that she was precious to him, that really struck me. It was like, it's like the first time I ever heard that God loves me. I mean, you know, if you can believe that. I know that I want the Lord, but it really came home that I'm wanted too, that he wants me.
Absolutely. This was a corporate prayer that God gave her. This was a corporate word that God gave her.
Yeah.
This is for you and me and everybody in this outreach.
Yeah, I really really needed to hear that. I didn't even know I needed to hear it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
What do you say, Ian?
Hey, everybody.
God bless you, brother. Y'all get any wind over there?
What'd you say?
Did you get any wind over there?
Yeah, we lost power here for about three hours, I guess.
Got it back now?
Yeah, it's all back up.
Awesome.
All back up. How about you guys? How'd you make out?
We're okay. Tim's still without power, I think. Him and Michael Levesque.
Yeah, by the looks of our street, I think we're going to be out for quite a while because there's just everywhere I went, there was lines down everywhere. So it's
Well, there ain't nothing like barbecued eggs, is there?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, Tim. This is your opportunity. Tim just told me he was out of firewood, so this is his opportunity.
There you go.
You're going to have
plenty of this. Firewood everywhere.
Absolutely. Well, all right. Anybody else before we get out of here? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just thank you for a wonderful night. I thank you for the wonderful words that were given, Lord, and I thank you for the protection you have provided for your people, Lord, and the word of God, Lord, that gives us the standard by which we live. And Father, we just praise you, and we thank you that tonight everybody's going to get a real good night's sleep. And be waking up in the morning thinking of you, Father. Thank you for the work that you're doing in each one of us, Lord. You're bringing us all along at the right speed for each one of us. And maturing us into you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to do this work in every one of us and have us ready by the time this thing starts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, good night, everybody. And we love you. And God bless you.